You are listening to the Fancy Wrestling Show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick with Danny Danger, B. Cavillas. Trio is back again. It is WrestleMania season. We're ready. Are you ready for the grandest show of them all?
I mean, I think we're about as ready as we can be. We still got a little bit of time until the show, and all the surrounding shows that come with WrestleMania/Wrestling Week. I think we're about as ready as we can be, because you're never truly ready. And that's part of the excitement.
First of all, you both said it wrong. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? I have goosebumps. I am so excited, like legit goosebumps right now. I'm like, ooh, it is WrestleMania season. And, screw Christmas. This is a wrestling fan's best time of year. So much wrestling about to happen, about to go down, the throwdown. Yes, it's in New York and New Jersey and not Tampa, but we're going to make the best of it this year. We're going to go. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat, drink, be merry. But most of all, we're going to see some incredible wrestling. I'm ready, except for I'm not packed yet.
And by we, you mean you, because Danny and I are staying as far away as possible from the state of New York.
I feel that we're a group, and when one goes, everyone's there in spirit.
We're like the New Day. When one of us wins, all of us win. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
When Kofi, you as the Kofi right now, wins, Yellow Man and myself are the Big E and the Xavier, and we win.
Who's Big E?
Well, neither of us are really on the honor roll. We're not those kind of students. So, we may not be X.
All right. So I'm Xavier and Kofi. Okay, go.
All right. So a lot to talk about next week. And of course, we're not going to talk about everything. We just don't have that kind of time. And well, I really just don't care for a lot of it. So before we do get to talk about some of these shows, a few things I want to get caught up on. First of all, and Danny, I know this is very, very, very close to your heart. Yushin Thunder Liger announced a month ago or so that he will be retiring at Wrestle Kingdom on your birthday, Danny.
I know. On my birthday, Wrestle Kingdom will be Jushin Thunder Liger's last ever match. So he's kind of doing the farewell tour. So hopefully I get, one more opportunity to see him wrestle here in the States before, this year, or meet him possibly at WrestleCade or something, around in North Carolina. I've had to with this because Jo has also announced that 2019 will be her last year. She hasn't set an official end date, but she has confirmed that she is working out final dates, specific places she wants to wrestle one last time, looking for specific opponents. But 2019 will be her last year. So between 2019 being the last year of Lufisto and Jushin Thunder Liger, I'm just not really sure how to cope. It's different when somebody when a Kurt Angle retires, because he's not gone forever. They're going to use him on TV. You can see him at conventions and different places, making appearances perhaps, but when somebody on an international level or the independent level kind of retires, they're pretty much going to a life beyond wrestling. So you kind of see them around again. So it's just kind of, I'm getting to the age where heroes and idols are retiring, and I'm not sure if I'm ready to be at that age yet.
My gosh, I feel so sad now. I thought it was not great, but it was one of those things where both Lufisto and Liger are going out kind of the way, you know, you should go out. You announce it and say, hey, this is it, you know, a few more dates here or there, and they kind of ride off into the sunset. But now I'm kind of sad because you're right. You won't see them around, unfortunately. And these are two people who've contributed, not just for you personally, but just on a scale that I think is kind of immeasurable, their talent, how they've touched generations and so many wrestlers in the ring, out of the ring, inspiring people to, you know, lace up a pair of boots or to turn on a television or something or get a tape and watch them perform in the ring. So, gosh, yeah, maybe sad, but what better way than to celebrate a career going out at one of the biggest shows of the year, Wrestle Kingdom, for Liger. And it's a bittersweet birthday gift for you as well, because you'll always have Liger. Literally, you'll always have him. He's right on your leg.
Yeah. Physically on my body, he's always with me.
Wow. We're all on a roll.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think we saw this day coming, especially after last year, and with Liger being done doing the Super J tournament and just moving on from that. He was slowing down. We knew that this was coming. Whoever his opponent is at Wrestle Kingdom, it'll be one that will be very memorable.
It won't be Baron Corbin, we can tell you that much, thankfully.
So he had, you know, he junior heavyweight shot at the 70th, or not 70th, at the anniversary show, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago. And, that very well could be the last time he gets a shot at the junior heavyweight championship. It was after that match that he announced he would, this would be his last year. So we'll see. I assume it'll be somebody special. I assume it'll be somebody who maybe he hasn't faced before or hasn't faced in a while. When Kushida's leaving, you know, he said the one opponent he never fought one-on-one was Tanahashi. And so that's kind of his only regret. Tanahashi heard him at the press conference and said, hey, you dude, like, you want that match? We'll give you that match. We'll be a big opponent that is meaningful. You know, maybe not a one-on-one, maybe it's a tag, you know, we'll see. But thankfully, that's a long way away.
And we'll have plenty of time to talk about Liger's career. We'll take a look back as we get closer to next year. So then some sad news. We also learned last month of the passing of one King Kong Bundy, of course. A lot of people remember him being in the main event of the second ever WrestleMania against Hulk Hogan, WWE's first WrestleMania on pay-per-view. A big deal here. King Kong Bundy later on went on to be part of the Million Dollar Corporation. You know, eventually did some shows in the indies and then retired, of course. Also made the 5 count. A popular thing, a very well-respected wrestler, and one of the true giants in the sport.
I mean, he was one of the, you know, the early big villains in, you know, I mean, as you said, the main event of the second WrestleMania. So those first several WrestleManias, he was still, you know, as a big, big guy, his larger-than-life persona, as well as just his massive size, helped make him a recognizable figure. But yeah, you talk about, you know, just known for being somebody who was more than willing to help people, not just wrestlers, but also interactions with fans. You know, even as you know, I mean, he was at WrestleCade this past November, you know, and had you know, lines and lines of fans that were there, and he was very, very gracious and excited to spend as much time as he could with everybody. So a great loss, you know. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, since leaving wrestling, he wasn't really in the spotlight as much, you know. He did conventions and stuff, but so it seemed kind of sudden to some of us fans, but you never know what somebody's going through in their personal life, you know, what kind of battles or illnesses they may be fighting. A definite loss to our sport and to our sports community.
Such a one of the things you said earlier about, you know, your heroes retiring. Well, this is somebody who a lot of wrestlers, especially the big men in the sport, kind of looked at as a role model and someone that they could emulate and whose style kind of fit the mold and kind of broke the mold as far as big men in the ring were concerned, and just being a villain with your presence. That's a lot of what he was. Yes, he was athletic and big, but just his presence alone was enough to intimidate. And he was in on the WWF days where, you know, the faces and the heels, the heroes and the villains, it was really big. And just on site, he was terrifying. But like you said, such a nice guy, a cat lover. And, you know, cat lovers are just amazing people. So gone at 63, gone way too soon. Being just 63 years old, that's just, you know, we hope for everyone to have a long life. But his legacy will definitely live on. And sad to see him go, but happy for what he contributed while he was here.
Yeah, definitely a big loss in the wrestling community. And on other news, outside of WWE, but could they have implications to pro wrestling? We'll find out. Let me rephrase. Outside of some news outside of pro wrestling, but could eventually lead to something, I don't know. Former NFL tight end for the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, decided to retire from football professionally. He is now free to do whatever he wants. The reason I bring him up is because he's already been a part of WrestleMania, as he helped out Mojo Rawley in defeating or eliminating one Jinder Mahal to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So that, to me, you know, it got me thinking. Gronkowski is a name. He's a popular guy. He's still young, 29 years old. Of course, Stephanie McMahon acknowledged his retirement. So what do you guys make as the odds of Gronk, signing some type of deal to be part of WWE? I think big odds.
Well, even before his WrestleMania appearance last year, several years ago, I do believe he made an appearance for TNA back in the Asylum days, if I remember correctly.
You are correct.
And, so, you know, he didn't have a match, but he came in and, you know, knocked some people out of the ring, as they would do periodically, have a sports star come in. So it is his passion for wrestling is there, and it has been for some time. He's already getting called out by Leo Rush, who was apparently making, you know, said something on Monday about Gronk. So people are already speculating that he'll show up somehow at WrestleMania to kind of have a showdown with Leo. I don't know if we see him sign a deal where he becomes an active participant kind of on the regular, like, you know, Lesnar or Rousey. But I mean, we could see him, you know, make an appearance at Mania and then maybe, you know, maybe do something at SummerSlam, possibly. because you'd have to give him time to learn professional wrestling. So yeah, maybe down the line we do see him in a capacity. You know, maybe the Revival already joked that they were going to be, you know, fighting Mojo and Gronk at Mania. So maybe we do see some wrestling interaction from him.
I think he's already signed some developmental contract we don't know about. He has been in the ring before. He helped his buddy, his good buddy, Mojo Rawley, win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. He has been a special guest of the WWE, featured in vignettes. He's a wrestling fan, and if he is not in a wrestling ring within the next year and a half or so, I'd be so very, very shocked. We're going to see him, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. With him being this young, retiring from football, let's face it, wrestling has and always will be a sport that other sport athletes feel that they can get into and dominate. And, you know, some of them have had success moving in, like your Lesnar's, for instance, being a different sport, MMA, football, or whatever, Bale and Hay, whatever the hell Brock was doing before he became a wrestler or a real, you know, WWE wrestler. But coming into the squared circle, you'll see Gronkowski in the New England Patriots colors, probably debuting in New England. I'm just, you know, let's keep it real. WWE knows their crowd and their audience. Who better to bring into the middle of the TD Bank Arena in Boston one day than Gronk for his first match?
I mean, definitely makes sense. You know, Gronk in the WWE, it would be great. And Gronk's an entertainer. I mean, he's a funny guy. I think he definitely has charisma, and that's one thing, you know, that you can't teach. And I think that his athleticism, I think that can be, well, he doesn't need to have a full-time contract, like Danny said, but some type of, hey, come do a few appearances, maybe a match or two, let's get some publicity. And yeah, man, being in New York, being in the Northeast, where a lot of his fans probably are, would make sense. And maybe have him at a big show when they're back in Boston. I think that would be huge. But yeah, whatever they do, I think that's definitely a great opportunity for not only Gronk, but the WWE as they continue to, you know, get more and more mainstream. Who knows? Could you make an appearance in the XFL?
Yes. Hey, I had forgotten about the XFL. Thank you for reminding me of that atrocity.
Still happening next year. So, 2020. We'll save that topic for next year. And on another note, also outside of pro wrestling, but now linked to pro wrestling, UFC fighter Cain Velasquez, their former two-time heavyweight champion and training partner to current UFC heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier, who's been linked to a fight with Brock Lesnar, I showed up in Mexico at AAA for a big press conference where it announced that he will be wrestling at Triple Mania. So another UFC fighter making his wrestling debut, this time at AAA's biggest show of the year. And he's going to do some lucha. Makes sense. He's Mexican. He speaks the language.
He's very, very proud of his Mexican heritage. He always has been. So is he just signed for right now just for the Triple Mania and maybe some some promo stuff leading up to it. He's not signed to like a regular competing contract.
Most likely not, because he's still signed to the UFC.
Okay. He still has fights on his contract with UFC. Okay.
So I don't think the UFC would just let him do whatever.
It's also to help UFC's expansion into Mexico.
Yeah, I think that's definitely helped. Yeah, I mean, there's the tie-in, right? I think that the UFC will definitely be getting something out of this.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Linder will maybe go to UFC or something. But yeah, I know. It seems interesting. I always enjoyed Kane's stuff in the UFC. You know, he was an early opponent of Brock Lesnar. He actually ended Brock Lesnar's championship reign of the heavyweight division. He was the first, you know, the first of two devastating losses that Brock suffered. He would later get destroyed by Alistair Overeem. But Kane was the first guy to, well, it's not the first guy, but the second guy to beat Brock Lesnar. The first one after his debut fight losing to Frank Mir. But I always enjoyed Kane's stuff. I felt a very interesting fighting style, so I'm very interested and intrigued to see how he transitions to Lucha.
It'll be interesting again, because I talked about earlier how these different sports stars move into wrestling. So Lucha is a whole different animal altogether, but the premise of the wrestling and the athleticism and the strength and the coordination, especially when it comes to being a lucha wrestler, will be interesting to watch, to see how Velasquez adapts to it, if he can. This also would open up the door, of course, to maybe someplace down the line getting into the WWE. Because, again, we know how we like our MMA stars and those names and draw money according to the WWE. And that would definitely be a draw if you get these two, him and Lesnar, back in a ring together and see what happens.
I mean, and not only would he be an MMA crossover star, but he'd also be a heavyweight, and he'd also be a Latino heavyweight, which something that we know WWE has still struggled with, you know, pretty much since Eddie Guerrero, that they really haven't had a consistent long-term Latino heavyweight they feel can help them bridge into Latino demographic more so. So somebody, you know, like Cain Velasquez would definitely help on that agenda as well.
I'm not sure who they would actually put against Cain, but I mean, they'll definitely do something to protect him. I mean, not that he, you know, he's a former wrestler, but still, it doesn't always translate, but he definitely has skills. He's a pro wrestling fan, so that would be interesting. But see who he gets booked against. Of course, a lot of names already are putting, you know, they're saying they want a shot at Velasquez. So it'll be interesting to see whether somebody from AAA or an outside name.
Yeah, or if they do bring somebody else in, yeah, that could be a possibility. So, yeah, I mean, it's, yet again, it's big news as international sports stars are moving to different, you know, into pro wrestling. I guess they've seen what that's done for WWE in the past. So, you know, hopefully it can generate some success. For AAA, and, you know, I guess by de facto to the UFC as well.
Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
All right, so now let's move on to next weekend, because we've got a few things to talk about. So before we get lost in WrestleMania fever and everything WWE has going on, let's talk about the G1 Supercard that will be going on that Saturday night, the day before WrestleMania.
Square Garden.
At the Madison Square Garden. So here are the matches in no particular order. We have in the pre-show the Honor Rumble. Of course, we didn't get a Rumble at Wrestle Kingdom. We're getting one here with both stars from Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Then in a winner-takes-all match, never open weight champion Will Ospreay versus Ring of Honor TV champion Jeff Cobb. Rush versus Dalton Castle in a singles match. Mayu Iwatani will be defending the Women of Honor Championship against Kelly Klein. Bully Ray will be wrestling someone in a New York City street fight.
As open challenge laid down.
Taiji Ishimori will be defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Dragon Lee and Bandido. In a winner-takes-all four-way tag team match, the Guerrillas of Destiny will be putting up their IWGP Tag Team Championships. Villain Enterprises, PCO, and Brody King will be putting up their Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. Joining them will be Los Ingobernables de Japón, Evil and Sanada, and the Briscoes, Jay and Mark. Zack Sabre Jr. will be defending the British Heavyweight Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi. Tetsuya Naito will be defending the Intercontinental Championship against Kota Ibushi. Jay Lethal will be defending the ROH World title in a ladder match against Marty Scurll and Matt Taven. And in your main event, or what should be the main event of the evening, Switchblade, Jay White defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against the Rainmaker, Okada. The winner of the New Japan Cup, mind you, to earn this title shot.
So yeah, so the main event, Okada winning the New Japan Cup this year, being the biggest New Japan Cup they've had, 32 people in it. They expanded some of the rules to allow champions like the Never Open Weight and the Intercontinental Champion to compete, where in years past they didn't. They had a junior heavyweight in there. They had a young lion making his debut in the cup. And not only winning the cup was a thing, but also you would get to face the champion Switchblade Jay White at Madison Square Garden. So Okada won the New Japan Cup. So I watched every single show of the New Japan Cup, and so many fantastic matches. I think Ishii was really the MVP of that series. Every single person he competed against just had fantastic matches, elevated all of his opponents. But Okada's here. He lost to Jay White before Jay White was champion at Wrestle Kingdom in 14 minutes, which is pretty much as quick as anybody's beaten the Rainmaker. Usually it takes a lot longer for his matches. You know, his matches with Kenny Omega had long, long times, but Jay White was able to defeat him in 14 minutes. So Okada's kind of embarrassed about that and looks for revenge. And of course, the big storyline in New Japan now is you have members of the different factions now starting to work together in order to try to end Switchblade in a new era and pull that championship away from the Bullet Club. So Okada, of course, you know, the leader and the front man, everybody kind of booked it was going to be him, you know, Tanahashi or Okada that would do it. Win the New Japan Cup. Okada does. The rest of this card is very mixed up. You know, you have a lot of multi-man matches, which I feel is kind of the theme of wrestling week this year. WrestleMania also has their fair share of multi-man matches, seemingly more than they've had in years past. But you have a lot of multi-man matches, several, you know, a couple winner-take-all matches with the tag titles. and the Never Open Weight versus the ROH TV Championship. I haven't been following ROH as closely, but I've definitely been following New Japan very closely. I'm really intrigued by a lot of the matches on here because they are, since it is kind of a dual-branded show, you have some of the storylines that are just New Japan and some of the storylines that are just ROH and some of them where they melded them together. You know, as they kind of melded and teased some of the stuff in the Honor Rising shows about 6 weeks ago. So this is one of the shows that I'm really, really intrigued to see a lot of the matches on. You know, it's... There's really kind of too many good matches to pick. There are really so many of them could be match of the night, could be main events. I mean, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tanahashi. I mean, that's going to be fantastic. You have a ladder match. You got a four-way tag team match. I mean, Bully Ray's just throwing an open challenge, knowing ROH and New Japan and all the people that will be in town for the week that may or may not have a booking that night. You know, I mean, it could be somebody from, you know, Cheeseburger to Jushin Liger to you start looking at some of the other stars of New Japan who, you know, who've done hardcore stuff in the past, like a Honma or a Togi Makabe, you know, or you could even go much further out than that. And the Honor Rumble winner will get a future Ring of Honor championship opportunity. So I think you could see a lot of names, surprise names in that. I think so far the only announced name for that is Jushin Liger for the Honor Rumble. But we could see any number of people in that match. Maybe people that have other matches later in the card, you know, will come out for that. I assume they'll be chock full of New Japan and Ring of Honor stars and maybe a few surprises. But it's a very interesting and intriguing card. Madison Square Garden, it's been sold out for weeks. But that is absolutely one of the biggest shows of the weekend.
Huge, huge show. Like you said, almost every match could be a main event on either Ring of Honor or New Japan. It's, I think, the most well-blended card that I've seen as far as the talent exchange goes between Ring of Honor and New Japan, because they've done different, you know, pay-per-views and just regular shows where they'll bring over talent either over to New Japan or the New Japan talent will come over to Ring of Honor. But this card is so stacked that it... Not that it's going to rival WrestleMania, but it damn near could as far as the talent level goes, where every match, every competitor, there is something on the line. Not just, you know, titles for the title matches, but that kind of pride. And I think the fact that, again, there was so much controversy about New Japan running in Madison Square Garden, where rumors were flying that... Our Lord, our Savior, Vince McMahon, was trying to block New Japan from running in his house, Madison Square Garden, that everybody knows how important that this particular show is, that they will bring their A game, that nothing will go and just be an okay match. I think that even Bully Ray, who, you know, I love Bully Ray, don't get me wrong, but I'm not, you know, saying he's the best wrestler in the world, being there to throw out an open challenge for New York City street fight, because hello, he's a New Yorker, is going to pull some tricks. There'll be some good tricks up their sleeves collectively to have that match be memorable as well. So I'm looking forward to it. I love the fact that a lot of winner take all matches are on here as well. I'm looking forward to the tag team titles. The Gorillas of Destiny are having a street party. And you know, year before, when the Hardys had a street party, they wound up, you know, going to WWE to WrestleMania that next year. So let's see what happens when GOD has a street party and takes over New York City.
A lot could happen. But yeah, I mean, talking about rivaling the WWE here with 11 matches to WWE's 13. I don't know. It's gonna be a while. I hope that people enjoy the comfort of the Madison Square Garden. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to a lot of matches as well. You know, Ospreay and Cobb, that'll definitely be a fun one. Ishimori, Dragon Lee, Bandido, probably my pick for match of the night. If not, Naito versus Ibushi. Zack Sabre Jr., Tanahashi should be another classic match. And if the night doesn't end with Okada as IWGP heavyweight champion, there's more wrong with Ghetto than I thought. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. But yeah, I think that this is going to be a fun show on that I may most likely be watching live. It will be available, I think, on many different platforms, including on the Honor Club and New Japan World, and probably on Fight TV, because I think that they also put out the shows on Fight TV as well. It'll be available everywhere. Definitely a show to check out. But the G1 Supercard, proving once again, Ring of Honor needs New Japan Pro Wrestling more than New Japan needs them. But alas, that's it for that. The Hall of Fame for WWE, we got some more updates. So we got the Honky Tonk Man, greatest Intercontinental Champion of all times. Tori Wilson, of course, we talked about her as well. D-Generation X, who that includes Shawn Michaels, Triple H, China, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, and X-Pac. And Harlem Heat. Suckers are going to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. And the last two announced, Sue Aitchison, who is a WWE executive, has worked for WWE for almost ever. And she is responsible for many of WWE's charitable programs, including the huge partnership with Make-A-Wish Foundation. Of course, we know the big impact that WWE has had in their partnership, you know. And of course, John Cena, the number one grant wisher in the world.
It's not even close. Yeah, it's not even close.
John Cena grants more wishes than the genie ever did.
Any and all genies combined, pretty much.
If you are somebody who benefited from Make-A-Wish Foundation, got to meet your favorite superstar, or even Vince McMahon, this lady was a key part of that. And so the children could have something to smile about. So great. So she will be receiving the Warrior Award. Definitely a great way to see someone get honored in that way. And the last name announced was the Hart Foundation. Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And I think to note here, before I get your thoughts on the team and the overall class, that Bret Hart will be inducted for the second time. He and Shawn Michaels will be entering the WWE Hall of Fame for the second time in the same year. So another way to link Shawn and Bret. These two are always going to be doing stuff together one way or another. But in this way, they're doing history. They're joining the class of two-time Hall of Famers.
Booker T is also a two-time now. With entering his Harlem Heat, he entered back in 2013 as a solo. So Booker T is also joining the two-time club, this time with his brother Stevie Ray. And people have been down on Harlem Heat's induction as a team. They've also kind of said, well, did, you know, does Stevie Ray really belong to be in there? Similar to, well, does Anvil belong to be in there? Like, these people aren't looking at the bigger picture, I think, as well. You know, I mean, because Harlem Heat, although they didn't, they weren't really in WWF, WWE as a team. They were in WCW, but they were in a lot of other places, and definitely helped lay the groundwork for, you know, for people of color, not just African Americans, but to be seen as bigger deals, as big legit stars. And then of course Booker T would go on to much greater success as a singles star. But, you know, I think it seems like a good class. It does, you know, but they are, you know, previous managers of Harlem Heat, not included. Managers of the Hart Foundation, not included. So I think it's just to focus on the teams. And then, of course, to give the respect to the second member who hasn't already had a solo induction, Jim the Anvil, of course, being, you know, having passed away earlier this year. So a big thing for him. I assume the Hart Foundation induction will kind of focus more on Jim and his legacy overall in wrestling and his contributions. So I'm guessing, you know, Natty may be involved in the induction of the team. They haven't announced who is inducting the Hart Foundation in yet, but my guess maybe, you know, it may be a couple people, and Natalya would probably be towards the top of that list if she wants to. You know, or at least be there to kind of receive the award on behalf of her father. So it seems like a good solid class, and we may still get one or two more. You know, we don't know. Sometimes they throw some other posthumous or an international, you know, kind of star kind of later on. But it's a strong class. We're now to the point where people are being inducted twice, because we're running low on headliners, as some like to say. You know, I think some people also would like to see the Hart Foundation as the larger group inducted, not just the tag team. But of course, there's, you know, a lot of personal issues between some of the other members of the deceased members of the Hart Foundation, with Owen, you know, his wife not really wanting him to be included in anything. There may be some issues with Bulldog's family, maybe with Pillman's family, not really sure either, but it would also be a very, very sad induction if only one of the five is alive to receive it, and he's already been inducted himself. So maybe that's part of the reason too, that they're not going in, but you know, it'll be nice to see all the different people, you know, some of the ones we previously discussed, as well as some of the more recently announced ones, get that kind of moment of recognition and have their contributions to the sport brought to a newer generation who may not have been there and seen most of their stuff in the heyday.
The double inductees, I mean, it's nice, it's good, it's interesting to keep or to bring into the fold the members who may have been left behind or lost, but it's just such an interestingly stacked class for the groups. The DX induction is, I don't want to say overdue, but it's interesting because it opens the door for perhaps, especially considering they're doing double inductions, somewhere down the line, China may get her individual induction into the Hall of Fame. Probably not, but it's nice to think about. The Hart Foundation, yeah, everyone wants a larger group, but we have to accept that, you know, this year, Natty, a very, very hard year for Natty, for the Nide Hart family, as their, you know, patriarch passed on. So WWE, he was, you know, part of their Total Divas, still around, of course, as his daughter is a active competitor. So they wanted to do something without, I think, making it seem so painfully obvious that they were doing something. what better way than to induct the Hart Foundation, to get Neidhart into the Hall of Fame and make sure that they pay homage to a group that helped shape the tag team division as it is today. So it's going to be emotional. And like I said, I'm just sure as rain, Natty will be in on the induction in some way, shape, or form. And if she isn't, I'd be so very, very shocked. But this is a stacked dang class. Don't know how they're going to beat it next year. I mean, Booker T is going to have to go in there five times.
You know, I think that this is really a fun class. Harlem, he definitely deserves to be in it. I mean, again, I go back to Coco Beware getting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, and he's one of those, who didn't really, who everybody kind of looks at as, why is he in there? I think he's one of those guys who had more of an impact before, like, WWF. I think they put him in there for a lot of his contributions to the territory days.
I think he got booked just so they could book the Bird. So, but here's the thing. Harlem Heat, definitely deserving. 10-time WCW Tag Team Champions. They were the tag team in the mid-90s before the Outsiders came in and joined the NWO. They dominated in 94, 95, going against all up-and-comers. They were fantastic.
Pretty much Harlem Heat versus the Steiners was kind of like they were the two top teams in WCW for years.
Yeah, I mean, they took on all comers. They took on, whoever Buff Bagwell was tag teaming with them at the time, and they went also against the Nasty Boys and anyone. If there was a tag team, the Harlem Heat, will take them down like the suckers that they were. So definitely a deserving tag team, indeed. And the Hart Foundation, it's great to see them. I knew that they were rumored to be joining early on, but they waited till 1997. I'm okay with Sherry Martel and Jimmy Hart not being included only because they have already been enshrined in the Hall of Fame in 2005, 2006, respectively. And you can only have so many two-time inductees, right? Like we already mentioned, we already have three in this class. So five, probably too many. But I definitely do think that this is very deserved for both teams. Everyone, so I'm definitely looking forward to the inductions. And of course, Natty, crying, she's like the female version of the Big Show when it comes to a wrestler that cries all the time.
Wow.
Dang, I don't know if I'd go that far, man.
Wow. I mean, come on.
She's not.
Listen.
It's not Charlotte and Ric Flair, okay? They cry about as bad as anybody.
With all due respect, I mean, she does have a lot to cry about, losing her dad, but I mean, even before then, goodness gracious, the girl just cried, gets so emotional, I mean, like, she won a match, and she's just so happy she cries. She loses a match, she cries.
It's hard being a heart, man. Stu taught you how to wrestle. He didn't say don't cry. As long as you win or lose or do a good dang job out there, you can do all the tears you want. So, she's got to get it out somehow.
Somehow, some way. For now. It's time to talk about the NXT TakeOver. NXT TakeOver take place in Brooklyn, but this is not NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 5. No, this is bigger, badder, better. This is NXT TakeOver New York. So let's go over these matches, why don't we? First, in no particular order, the War Raiders will be defending the NXT Tag Team titles against the 2019 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic winners, Ricochet and Aleister Black.
once again, the winners, Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, are not a regular established tag team. I was a little surprised that the Street Profits were eliminated first round. I also kind of thought that they might give the Forgotten Sons the win. That way you have a heel face dynamic for the tag team championship at NXT TakeOver. And then, you know, maybe the War Raiders, you know, you have the third man in the Forgotten Sons, you know, kind of running interference. So it poses additional threat for the War Raiders rather than just two guys who are much smaller than them. But they're two of your bigger stars. You want to use them on the big show. So Aleister and Ricochet win. I do not believe that they will defeat the War Raiders, as with their multiple appearances on Raw and SmackDown, respectively, over the last couple months. I think that come the Superstar Shakedown following Rumble, that those two guys will be permanent members on the main roster. So I do think that the War Raiders will retain here.
Are you kidding me? Aleister Black and Ricochet have been on a proverbial roll, going up to the main roster, beating a tag team champions and non-title action. So what better way than to roll into WrestleMania weekend on your quote-unquote home brand currently, NXT, beat the tag team champions as the most unconventional team or people who have not been teaming together, and then roll into Raw and SmackDown with titles around your waist. It does wonders for helping them as a tag team seem more legitimate and more cohesive as a unit. It also helps WWE put eyes back on to the NXT product, considering that, you know, a lot of the WWE universe does not watch anything outside of the main two shows, Raw and SmackDown. So if they roll in with belts, these new exciting tag team, oh my gosh, where'd they get those titles from? And they buy the network. It's all for your $9.99 currently, plus tax. So my opinion, my prediction is that Rick O'Shea and Aleister Black become the new NXT Tag Team Champions.
But then how long before their names get shortened? Where he's just Black, and where it's just like Black and Rick, and that's their name.
Black Rick? That's the name of their tag team?
No, that'll be their individual names, okay?
No, like, their tag team is Black Rick.
And then they are just Black and Rick. They'll drop the Aleister and they'll drop the O'Shea, you know? Like Heavy Machinery, they don't have last names anymore. They're just Tucker and Otis. Mustafa Ali is now just Ali, okay? So how long until they're just Black? What about Dominic Dijakovic? How long until he gets up there and they just shorten his name back to Dijak again? Okay, hold like.
Let me quote a great man. It doesn't matter what your name is as long as you're the tag team champion, okay?
Well, I predict that the War Raiders will retain. This will be the swan song for Aleister and Ricochet. Here as they close out their NXT career and stay in the main roster forever. Next up, Shayna Baszler versus Io Shirai versus Bianca Belair versus Kairi Sane in a fatal four-way for the NXT Women's Championship. I gotta go with Shayna here. There's no reason to doubt her for now, unless they decide to somewhat do something else with Belair. I think Baszler will retain here, and she will continue to dominate the NXT women's roster. So I'm with Baszler for the win, but this will be a great match, a fun match.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting parts, and Kairi Sane does hold a very special place in my heart, but I don't think that she's going to win it. I think the next thing for Kairi is to focus on the Sky Pirates team and possibly get a shot at the the women's tag team championships. And Shane is doing such a good job as the bully. You know, I mean, the last several weeks she's gone out and just interrupted matches and laid waste, you know, her and her cronies have laid waste to anybody who's in the ring. I think she's doing such a good job at that. There's, unless they want to pull her up to the main roster to, you know, to do a four horsewomen thing. I don't see any reason for her to go up, for her to drop the belt, right now. So I think I have to go with Shayna to retain.
My name's not Kairi Sane. I thought I held a special place in your heart, but that's okay. I digress. This one's interesting because I know that Shayna has been doing a great job. She's been that dominant champion, but I also feel that this WrestleMania is the start of the four horsewomen that perhaps somehow or other Shayna loses the NXT title. And if she loses it, it will probably be to Bianca Belair. I don't know. That's just my weird feeling. But she loses that title. Shayna Baszler does, the Queen of Spades. But we get the four horsewomen of the MMA, as Shayna will interfere in the match, the main event of WrestleMania, or at least be ringside glaring or something, that we see her help her buddy Ronda Rousey out later on the WrestleMania weekend. But my prediction is Shayna loses the title. I can't title change the galore over here. Sorry.
Next up, we have Pete Dunne defending the WWE United Kingdom Championship against my number one wrestler of 2018, the man they call Walter, as we get NXT UK, NXT TakeOver New York.
So do you have your man Walter ending the reign of the Bruiserweight?
100,000%, yes, Walter wins the NXT UK championship. Absolutely. It's going to be total domination.
Whoa, total domination?
Yeah, this is going to be Walter like we've never seen him before.
I mean, I know this is probably your most exciting match of this show, just because you are such a big Walter fan. I mean, to say this match is going to be hard-hitting, I think, is an understatement, as anybody who's watched any of Walter's stuff anywhere, be it on the UK, the NXT UK, or any of his stuff in Evolve or WXW, he is, you know, one of the hardest hitters in the sport today. And Pete Dunne, if you bring it, he's going to bring it. So I think these guys will be put of each other, and I think they could do something to where there isn't a title change. You know, perhaps there's a double count out, or, you know, a double knockdown, you know, a double standing 10 count, or something. I don't think a conclusive finish in this one. I think they're going to do some kind of something. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a 30-minute time on the draw, or like I said, double count out, something. I don't think we'll see a definitive winner. I think the battles between these two continue.
I kind of like that. It's going to be a definite, a fight, a brawl, a battle, a spectacle, if you will. But I like Walter. I like Pete Dunne. I don't see Pete losing this title quite yet.
Next up, mine, yours, and everyone's favorite bro, Matt Riddle, will challenge the Velveteen Dream for the NXT North American Championship, or as it will be known from Saturday and on, well, Friday and on, the North American Bro Championship.
I was going bro-ship, but okay.
Matt Riddle will win this match, defeat Velveteen, ending his dream.
Another one of your personal favorites in Riddle, you know, getting his first one-on-one shot at a championship in NXT. He has still yet to be defeated, you know, and he did not win the five-way to get a NXT championship, but he was not involved in the decision, so he's still undefeated in NXT. But I do know how high they are in Velveteen. I think this one, I think you probably go with Riddle winning. I think I have to pick him, but I would not at all be surprised if Velveteen Dream retains and is able to defeat original Bro, as he is known.
Bro, 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 bro. It is time for some gold around the waist of Matt Riddle. Velveteen doesn't need the title. Riddle doesn't need the title, but Riddle will help that title look good, and it'll give more match quality, I think, from anybody who comes up to challenge him. So, Matt Riddle for the bro win.
And what should be your main event of the evening? In a 2 out of 3 false match for the vacant NXT Championship, Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole. You were muted. That kind of ruined the moment. I will set you up too, and you had to have yourself muted. That's what the hipsters call a fail. All right. So there's one or two things that could happen here, but the only thing that makes sense is Adam Cole winning, but WWE has been known to be senseless, and Gargano could win this match. I'm split 50-50. For all we know, title could still be vacant. I don't know. They'll find a way. I don't know how to call it here. I am split 50-50 on who to win this match. But, you know, the vocal minority will go nuts over this matchup.
Yeah, it is a match that I think a lot of people are really excited for, but there's also a lot of people hating on it already because, although Adam Cole has a lot of his fans, he does have a lot of his haters as well. I think I have to go with Adam Cole on this one. I think for the Undisputed Era to get back on the winning track and put some gold around their waist, I think Adam Cole as a character does better when he has a championship as a heel. I feel The Miz is just a character that does better with a championship. I think Adam Cole's the same way. So now is where the Undisputed Era, begins to have the 2019 they talked about, where they would all be draped in gold. I think it starts here at, TakeOver New York.
I'm with you, Patrick, about it's hard to truly pick a winner in this one. I think the real winner is going to be the WWE Universe or the NXT Universe. I see something screwy on the finish of this match. I see Ciampa coming out and laying everybody out, and the title stays vacant. Nobody takes his precious. Wait, no. No, and nobody's.
Goldie, he'll come out with his neck brace on and just start swinging a crutch or something.
A crutch, a cane, a small child. Anything he can get his hands on. So no one wins Goldie. I think that would be very compelling because the title stays vacant until, you know, they figure out, you know, what else they want to do with it. And that could be a cool little twist on things. But if that is not the twist they go with, and indeed there must be a winner, your winner is going to be Adam Cole, baby. like him or hate him, he is the next NXT champion. Whether it's this event, this pay-per-view that he wins, or some other event, he will be the next champion.
So that will take place in Brooklyn, NXT TakeOver New York, on Friday, April the 5th, live on WWE Network. And now, the time we've been waiting for. Sunday, April the 7th, MetLife Stadium will be packed with thousands and thousands of pro wrestling fans, sports entertainment fans, as WWE presents WrestleMania 35. Are we ready? Are we?
I said, are we ready? Come on, come on. You know how we do this.
In no particular order. Here we go. The Boss and Hawk Connection will defend the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship in a fatal four-way match against the Divas of Doom, The Iconics, and Nia Jax and Tamina. I think this is a no-brainer. Bayley and Sasha retain their titles.
I think because of all the infighting amongst the teams, I think that Boss and Hug were able to come out. Although, of course, they have the biggest target. You know, the Divas of Doom really want to get at Nia and Tamina, and the Iconics, of course, felt embarrassed in the chamber. So they want to kind of get at Nolan, would love to, you know, knock off, you know, get their hands on and beat up the, you know, the pioneering type tag team in the Divas of Doom. But I do think, yeah, I think Boss and Doug, this is their, they will not lose these yet. I thought they would lose them at their first singles defense, but I think they're going to keep them. I think because we're building for to the end. All the four horsewomen raising championships.
That would be very picturesque and iconic. Honestly, the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions should be the Iconics. Who is going to walk out of WrestleMania as the champions? A WWE Hall of Famer and future Hall of Famer, Beth Phoenix and Natalya.
All right, so we're going with the Divas of Doom to win.
Divas of Doom. Beth Phoenix is back for a reason. That reason is to add to her championship collection and show her little girl Lyric that mommy is a badass.
The only Doom that you're going to see is your predictions.
Wow. Wow.
Next, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal will take place. And of course that no contestants so far have only been announced are Braun Strowman and
two jobbers from Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
WWE WrestleMania correspondents Michael Che and Colin Jost. Now they haven't made this official or announced it, but I believe there will also be a women's battle royal.
The Moolah Classic, yeah, the Moolah Battle Royal. We're told originally here that there would be a total of 17 matches for the WrestleMania 13 have been officially announced. So I assume there are some more coming. And yeah, I would guess that you have the Get All the Men on the Show match. So you're going to have the Get All the Women on the Show match as well.
That's right. Yeah, we're recording a little early. We still have Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live as the go-home shows where anything can happen, so there's still a few things that we could be missing here. All right, next. For the Cruiserweight Championship, Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese. I think this is yet another big win for Buddy Murphy. He continues to dominate the cruiserweight division here.
Yeah, I don't really like the story of Tony Nese challenging Buddy. Had a couple weeks to try and build it, because Tony Nese has always been kind of a heel throughout his 205 Live run. You know, and he was Buddy Murphy's training partner, and then he beat Cedric, you know, kind of to the shock of most everyone. There's no reason at all to give the belt to Buddy Murphy, or to take the belt off Buddy Murphy. He's still doing a very, very good job as champion for the brand. So stop the unstoppable.
He is doing a good job. Tony Nese might be a spectacular athlete, but right now the champion in this case will retain, because I was going to say best for business. It's better for the brand.
Next up, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Not the match I thought we'd see, but a match I like nonetheless. And I think there's no question that Roman will reign this WrestleMania.
With his return, I think that anybody would be kind of a fool to bet against Roman winning. Happy that Drew McIntyre has been placed in this position, as they will have, as I love Drew McIntyre dearly. Judging by the exchanges these guys have had over the last several weeks, no doubt this match will be very, very physical. But yeah, it's pretty much Roman's to win, to have another big, great WrestleMania victory and moment. And then maybe he goes on to screw Seth Rollins out of the championship. You know, kind of payback for his old friend.
That would be interesting, yeah. Physical match, this shows that Roman is not just back, but that, you know, F cancer, that you can survive something like this and come back just as strong, if not stronger than ever. Roman picked up the win, because you do need those feel-good moments at Mania, and this will be that feel-good victory for him. I don't know if he screws Seth, but damn, if he does, instant heel. So, there we go.
Bobby Lashley defends the Intercontinental Championship against Finn Balor. Two questions here. Who wins this match, and will the Demon King reappear in New York?
We see an altercation earlier in the night with Leo Rush, and that eliminates Leo Rush from Bobby Lashley's corner, so that it is a one-on-one match. It is WrestleMania. It has been a very long time since we have seen the Demon King. I would say if you're going to do it, WrestleMania is the place to do it, but I don't know if an Intercontinental title match against Lashley is the place to do it. You know, my hope was that Balor would continue his feud with Brock Lesnar, and we'd get the Demon at Mania. Regardless of if he brings out the Demon, I think Balor defeats Lashley.
Wow, even with the Demon. We want the Demon bad. We need the Demon. But the WWE and Finn Balor tease us to no avail. They won't give us what we want. I don't think we're going to see the Demon. It'll be great at Mania, but I think we wind up getting it somewhere down the road for a Universal title shot, because there is some unfinished business between Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. I think that's going to be the Demon emerging. With that being said, Finn Balor picks up this Intercontinental title because it looks good on his abs.
But you don't want to hide the abs. That's the only problem with him having a belt, is it covers up the abs.
Listen, if you watch Finn Balor carefully, you notice that the abs are not the only thing that he brings to the party. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah, I definitely think that Finn Balor will win this match and take back the Intercontinental Championship. Right now, that bell though is going back and forth faster than ping pong. And next up, Samoa Joe defends the United States Championship versus Rey Mysterio, who could be accompanied by his alleged son Dominic.
Yeah, it is the DN. Well, you know, I mean, we're Eddie Guerrero did claim to be his poppy. I haven't seen any kind of DNA test to prove one way or another. I think Joe retains. I don't think Raymond Mysterio's championship. Joe's too dominant of a champion. Although I am kind of upset that just this past Monday, Joe did lose cleanly to an aging and retiring Kurt Angle. I understand you don't want to have Angle lose leading into Mania, but at the same time, Joe is a dominant wrestler and a champion. So didn't really like to see him lose there. I think that's why he needs to win against Mysterio. Put the beat down on the biggest little man and choke him out.
Ooh. Joe's going to kill Ray, and it's going to be on the biggest or the grandest stage of them all. Ray's going to come out and be colorful like the little peacock that he is in some great WrestleMania colorful gear. It'll be wonderful. Maybe we'll see the
He's going to come out as Captain Marvel. He's coming out as Captain Marvel this one.
There we go. Maybe we'll see the old Rey Mysterio entrance where he pops out of the floor. You know, they shoot him about 5 feet into the air.
Who's that jumping out the sky, R.E.Y.?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And he jumps right into a coquina clutch. Joe for the kill and the win.
I'm definitely, again, I think Samoa Joe has this one. At this point, I think Rey Mysterio came back for the fans and to help Dominic. Next up, AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. This should be a fun fun match here, as we see AJ and Randy have been having issues as of late. AJ always puts out great matches at WrestleMania, no matter who you put against them. This should be no different.
I actually take this one. Orton does seem to have WrestleMania, especially in undercard matches. You know, my guess is AJ hits the phenomenal forearm and Randy Orton kicks out. And then when AJ goes for it again at the second time, he catches himself in an RKO. Because WrestleMania is when you do highlight reel RKOs, specifically. So I think Randy Orton wins and proves that, you know, SmackDown is the house that he built, not the house of Styles.
It's the house that AJ Styles built. It's just full of Vipers or full of RKOs. AJ and Randy should be great, should be good. I think it'll be a lot of physicality on Randy's part. And you're right. It's written down. It's in the stars that you have to have highlight reel RKOs. And let's be honest. Randy Orton is not taking a Styles clash. Not at all. I don't think. Not today.
He's still taking a move, too.
Right. I mean,
comparatively. He'll take a forearm or maybe the spring is loose, but he's not taking the Styles clash. You're not going to accidentally break Randy Orton.
Yeah, you're not breaking his neck, redneck. So much as I love me some AJ Styles, I am also a huge fan of Mr. Orton and all of the RKOs that he delivers. So, Randy for the win.
Yeah, if it wasn't obvious, I'm going with AJ Styles here. Because this is still the house that AJ built. In a false count anywhere match, the best in the world, Shane McMahon versus The Miz. I'm going with The Miz because he is awesome.
Yeah, I think you pretty much have to give The Miz there. Shane smacked around his dad, and then also The Miz laid out on this past week's SmackDown, you know, 8 different local indie wrestlers, all 3 members of Sanity, Shelton Benjamin, Primo, Epico was nowhere to be seen, but, you know, Shane, The Miz himself, beat down like 13 guys. So I think it, you know, it's, he should be able to beat down The Miz, or beat down Shane. And, you know, The Miz will finally make his dad proud or something, you know, whatever the heck the goofy thing is. Fetus is in the, is what, you know, he holds a fetus in the air at the end.
Oh, Jesus. I hope he doesn't hold a fetus in the end. That would be just, that's a whole different kind of mania. Miz wins because Shane is going to jump off the WrestleMania sign through the Turkish announce table, and Miz picks up the win. Miz is awesome. Shane is crazy. It's WrestleMania. There'll be great, a great jersey from Shane O'Mac and matching shoes. But the Miz has to fight for his unborn child, his born child, and his hot wife.
And his, it looks like he just walked out of a Fox concert.
Yeah, I don't know what those genetics are. Miz is lucky that he's making money. He looks better than, you know, his parents.
All right, next up, we alluded to this, Kurt Angle's farewell match, his last match, and this is against Baron Corbin. I hope this match doesn't end up being with Baron Corbin. I hope that someone comes in with some ruthless aggression and hustles into the ring and shows some loyalty and respect. Takes out Corbin, replaces him against Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that is true. John Cena is still not yet booked. I mean, he's booked for the show, but he doesn't have a match. The Baron Corbin announcement was quite overwhelming. A lot of people were like, why in the world is Baron Corbin being a glass match? But, you know, maybe he beats Baron quickly and then John Cena comes out. Or like you said, Cena, you know, beats up Baron on the way down and takes the match. I think that's the match the fans want to see. You know, it's Cena's first match on the main card, you know, after being called up from OVW was against Kurt Angle, spawned the Ruthless Aggression. And Kurt was one of Cena's early, longer time opponents as Cena became a top guy. So I think that's the big farewell match that we all want to see.
Yeah, Baron Corbin as Kurt Angle's last match or his farewell match is an absolute joke. It's got to be somebody's idea of the ultimate swerve. So if it all ends WrestleMania night where Baron Corbin is indeed the final competitor to lock horns with Kurt Angle in the WWE ring, then we have failed as wrestling fans, and Vince has failed as an entity. He will not fail. He will not fail this city. He will not fail WrestleMania, and we will indeed see the captain of Thugonomics, the leader of the Chain Gang, step into the ring with the Olympic gold medalist and do the right thing and send Kurt out with a bang.
And speaking of going out with a bang, in a no-holds-bar match, Triple H versus Batista. And if Triple H loses, he retires from in-ring competition.
Talk about people to have your last match with. Batista, not really high on the list of competitors, active or non-active, that I think the game wants to have bench him forever. So Hunter wins this match. Tista goes back to being Blue Tista. Well, he's already Blue Tista. He goes back to making movies, being blue or whatever, and hopefully we don't see him again for another 7 years.
Well, he has mastered the art of moving, of standing perfectly still and moving so slowly that he does not appear to the eye. So maybe he just does that for a while, but it's a match we've seen a bunch. Both guys are up in years at this point. I don't expect, his last match, but I definitely think that will be one of his, it's getting close to his last match. I don't know. I assume Triple H will win this, but you never can tell.
Yeah, I'm going with Triple H here losing somehow. I think that they'll want to keep Batista happy and give him a win. Triple H is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. He might as well just retire. He doesn't need to wrestle. And he can always come back and wrestle. I mean, Shawn did. So, really, what is retirement except for, the biggest gimmick that anybody really plays?
Well, I've said it a lot of times. A wrestler never really retires until they're dead, until they're 6 feet under. So, Triple H may say he's retiring, but that doesn't mean it.
Hunter can't leave. That's all. Not to Batista. Hell, I'd rather see him and Flair go at it for one last time. Loser retires. And they double count out and they both retire again or whatever. But not Batista.
The new Daniel Bryan defends his WWE Championship against Kofi Kingston. I'm sorry to say, Kofi Mania is not going to end well. The new Daniel Bryan will retain his championship, which he will hold forever.
Oh.
Well, to be perfectly honest now, quite frankly, Vince McMahon said that Kofi, if the New Day won the gauntlet, Kofi was in at WrestleMania. Vince McMahon specifically did not say Kofi Kingston would get a championship match against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. He said he is in at WrestleMania. So, although the graphics and these kind of things came out, I think that Vince McMahon gives us the big, big swerve and says, yes, Kofi, I said you were in a WrestleMania. I didn't say you were competing for the championship. You have now been entered into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Congratulations, Kofi. You worked so hard. Kofi Mania is coming true. And Daniel Bryan takes the night off and go either to read some books or to a metal show, as Rowan still doesn't have his own t-shirt or a Daniel Bryan shirt. He just wears a bunch of Euro metal bands t-shirts to wrestle in. So maybe one of those bands is in New York, that weekend as well. Maybe they see Bathory or Children of Bodom, I think was the last shirt he wore. He's also worn Corpiclani. Maybe one of them are in New York. It is, kind of a musical epicenter as well.
They're going to go listen to the Smooth Stylings of Elias on their night off. I don't think that we're going to have a swerve because there's no more time. I know we're recording early, but I don't see another swerve because you have to set up. Somehow, Kofi Kingston has to fight Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And this whole he's in, he's out, the swerve left, the swerve right. It would be too much to not have him now in a match with Daniel Bryan, the new Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I sadly agree with Patrick that Kofi will not win the WWE title at WrestleMania, that there will be the new Daniel Bryan and still champion. I spoke about feel-good moments earlier. This whole Kofi Mania has been a feel-good moment as far as, Kofi getting in because his partner's the New Day. They ran a gauntlet and they defeated teams so Kofi could get in because Kofi, had to run a gauntlet to try to get in and he could not. So the elevation, this ride that we've been on with Kofi, appreciating all the hard work and dedication and finally getting his due, getting his moment, getting his chance. Yeah, he'll get that, But when the time comes in the ring with Daniel Bryan, Daniel will make him look like a million bucks. But that tree, the Captain Planet belt, will stay with the Captain Planet in Daniel Bryan. And Kofi Mania will, it'll be something we talk about to our great-grandkids.
Yeah, so Kofi Mania, yeah, I kind of get it, but I kind of don't get it. I mean, Kofi, I don't really buy him as a world champion. So we'll see what happens.
Hello, Vince Jr.
I was going to say, think about all the people who have been world champion, though, that most of us wouldn't think of as world champion. Jack Swagger was a multiple-time world champion. You know, not somebody most people would think to be a champion. Dolph Ziggler was a world champion. You know, somebody most people wouldn't think to be the top guy. Maybe Kofi wins, but I think the biggest thing was the Kofi Mania started, it was meant to be like a Kofi 2 WrestleMania, not like Hulkamania, like a fever that he is inciting because of popularity.
Well, people are going crazy about it, and I just don't think it's going to work out. But it's all good. People need stuff to look forward to, you know. They need somebody to cheer for, a underdog, and of course, the real Daniel Bryan doesn't have time for that, as he's trying to save the planet. Next up, Brock Lesnar defends the Universal Championship against Seth Rollins. And you know what? I'm going to go on a limb here and probably be 100% wrong. But I think that the Beast Slayer will walk out WrestleMania with the Universal Championship.
Well, he's technically already beaten Brock Lesnar for the championship at Mania once, although he did not pin Brock Lesnar. He did win the Royal Rumble this year and immediately picked Brock Lesnar. He didn't even really have to take any time to decide. So I think that Rollins, this is his time. He takes the belt, and, you know, I don't know if we'll see Brock Lesnar back in a WWE ring, and if we do, it could be quite some time before we do again. But I definitely think that this is Seth Rollins' WrestleMania. You know, walks out again at WrestleMania with the Universal Championship.
The Universal Championship is coming down from out of the atmosphere to be defended on the greatest show on Earth. It has to stay on Earth. Thus, the Beast Slayer will don his Captain Marvel-like gear and defeat Thanos. I mean, Brock Lesnar. Is that how that goes?
I think that that's the only thing that makes sense, even though I'm probably wrong because, you know, I don't book this stuff. But in your main event of the evening, that's the one thing that we can be sure of, is what the main event will be for the first time ever. The women will main event WrestleMania for the Raw Women's Championship. Ronda Rousey defends versus the man, Becky Lynch, versus the new SmackDown Live Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair. Now, of course, this has not been addressed. Before we do pick a winner, though, will Charlotte's championship also be up for grabs? Should it be? Should it be a winner take all, just like Ring of Honor is doing?
That's one of the things that, you know, since we are recording this with still the go home Raw and SmackDown before Mania, you know, they have time to have different rumors about, is it a unification where there will then just be one women's championship? Similar to how the women's team titles are being defended. But how in the SmackDown championship, there's been some kind of words coming out about that. Why that Asuka and beat Asuka was made at of the show of SmackDown. It was the original advertised match was to determine Asuka's opponent. It was going to be Naomi, Carmella, Sonya and Mandy. In a four-way, the winner of that would face Asuka. Apparently, what's being reported is that Vince McMahon said it was his call to give Charlotte the championship, to have Charlotte bring something to the bigger match. As Becky won the Rumble, fought her way into it. Ronda brings the Raw championship. Now Charlotte is the SmackDown championship to add even a bigger spectacle to that match. But Vince McMahon said nobody cares who's going to fight Asuka. So it was his call to have Charlotte defeat Asuka, take that championship, and half before Mania, pretty much leave Asuka empty-handed and out in the cold. So if there is the Moolah Battle Royal, that's probably the only way Asuka's going to get on WrestleMania. I'm very, very emotionally hurt by that, as Asuka is, you know, one of the greatest in-ring competitors of our generation. She is easily, hands down, the best in-ring competitor on WWE's main roster. And just kind of, it's so sad that since she won the title, they've kind of underutilized it and downplayed it. And I get it. You know, you have your bigger stars and the Royal Rumble winner and these kind of things, but they would kind of have her on TV and then she'd be gone for like a month, and then she'd come back and fight a match or two, and then she'd be gone for another month. And then she's going to drop it, and then, you know, possibly just kind of be gone for a while. Like later that night, you know, she drops the belt. Then later that night, she's in the background watching with everybody else and Kofi as they're jumping and celebrating, you know, the New Day going through the gauntlet. So less than an hour after she lost her title in a match that she didn't, you know, in theory didn't know she was going to be defending against, she was expecting to find out who she would be defending Mania against. Less than an hour later, she's in the background dancing and jumping with everybody. Just kind of shows, you know, I think that's bad storytelling, that's how little the title means to her, unless you just say, well, she's being a good friend and supportive of her friends, etc. But even then, I just upset they're not utilizing Asuka as well as they could be. But Charlotte walks in with the SmackDown Women's Championship. I think they're going to announce a unification, or if not, you know, one belt, then a winner takes all. But I think it's, you know, if Becky Lynch doesn't win it, I think the place, they, people will set the venue on fire.
Becky doesn't win, New York will burn to the ground, and not because of Seth Rollins, but because this is Becky's Mania to win. Not just her match. Becky is the winner, actually, guys, of every match announced on the card for WrestleMania 35. She's going to beat Brock Lesnar. She's going to beat Daniel Bryan. She's going to defend the tag team championships and win. But honestly and truly, in the main event, there was no reason for Charlotte to win the SmackDown Women's title, because there's just no reason for it. Even unifying the titles at this point in such a hurried fashion is ridiculous. This match did not need more prestige to it. The fact that women were main eventing WrestleMania was prestige and historic, or her-storic enough. The fact that you had Ronda Rousey, a draw from the UFC, was prestigious enough. Becky Lynch, who has talked media outlets around the world, non-sports outlets, into watching her every move whenever she picks up a microphone or steps into a ring, prestigious enough. Charlotte Flair being added to this match in general was, why? Now putting a title on her, doing to Asuka what was done to Asuka, doing to the SmackDown women's locker room, taking that title and just saying, you know what, none of you guys are good enough to even fight for it. I'm just going to put it on Charlotte because, you know, Flair. And doing that is just, it's just ridiculous. And for every step forward that the women in the WWE are making, that one move alone, I really feel, sets every woman back, because Vince is someone who is supposed to thrive on competition and want people to step up, is saying that, you know what, even though these three are up, the rest of you are crap, so forget about you. That's what that is, and that should not be the truth. All that aside, I'm concerned about the main event, because I felt that Charlotte would be the one to take the pin, Becky pinning Charlotte. And now with Charlotte having a title, I don't know if we do something screwy, like, you know, Becky wins the SmackDown Women's Championship. She doesn't win the Raw Women's Championship because she didn't pin the Raw Women's Champion. It's so much in the air right now. I'm happy for the women, but I'm concerned that we've done too much. We've added so much icing on this cake that it's going to just be a sugar rush and nothing else.
I feel that, like, to the journey to get here, as most fans, I think, are feeling that it's kind of been convoluted. Like, it should have just been Beck and Ronda the whole time. But then you add in Charlotte and you add in, you know, Ronda's last minute kind of heel turn and kind of being, you know, she's attacking security and her husband's out there. And then Becky's like injured and got a fight back in the match, you know, multiple times. And now you add Charlotte with another championship. Like, it's, they're doing so much that personally it's actually made me lose interest in the match, because they've tried to do so much to generate interest in the match. I feel it's had a counter effect. And I'm hearing that from other fans as well, that it does seem like they've kind of done, the lead up to this match has been overbooked. One-on-one, the Royal Rumble winner, the woman she challenged, and let them just talk through it and do what they've been doing, you know, do what they did that made that Survivor Series matchup that was supposed to happen seem like such a big deal, and then they continued it on into January. You know, still battling, still talking the trash. You know, but they felt the need to continue to add, and it feels like it's almost weighed down.
Well, something is definitely going to happen. This is the main event. The women are main eventing. We've had so many ups and downs getting to this place. But finally, the man and the baddest woman on the planet will face off, even if we have to put up with Charlotte in it. Will her title be up for grabs? We'll find out in a few days. But, man, whatever the scenario, whatever happens, it's going to be fun. But it should end with the man raising, getting her hand raised, victorious to end WrestleMania 35. That is the only way I think that the crowd will be the happiest. In New York, the man can say, she did it her way. It's going to be an exciting time. WrestleMania, it is wrestling fans' favorite time of the year. It is upon us. Can't wait. WWE Network, the longest day of our lives, most likely, with so many matches. But we love every single minute of it, even those who complain about it, because they'll be watching, as we will, on WWE Network. $9.99, free for new subscribers. And when we return, we'll be back to talk about the fallout of WrestleMania, TakeOver, the G1, the night after WrestleMania, the night after WrestleMania. So much to talk about. So we'll be back. Make sure you subscribe to the FOW Radio Network, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. Check us out on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at DannyFNDanger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. Check out her and make sure you follow her throughout her escapades in New York. And follow me at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.